Those of you that are taking notes, I've entitled the message this morning, The Outcast Shepherds. Our scripture verse this morning is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Thus saith the Lord. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to give us understanding. Father, as we open your word, we pray that your Spirit would walk amongst us, Lord, O God, touch every heart. And if there be one here today that knows not Christ as Savior, Lord, we pray that you would be pleased to call that one to yourself on this Advent Sunday. And we'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Some 2,000 years ago on that evening, when an angel of the Lord stood before a small group of shepherds and announced that there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. When that happened, the world was instantly and forever changed. The declaration that God had become incarnate, He became a man, was and still is the greatest news that this planet has ever received. And as with all things, God gave us this news in a way nobody expected. Throughout Scripture, we see that God does things much differently than the way men do things. For example, it has always been the custom of man to give his oldest son the lion's share of everything. But in Scripture, we see that the Lord often chooses the youngest in a family to do his work. Jacob was younger than Esau, and yet he became the patriarch of the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph, Jacob's son, was the youngest, and it was to him that God used to save Israel from a great famine. And David, he was but a boy, the youngest of all Jesse's sons, yet God told Samuel to anoint him king of Israel. And Solomon, he was the youngest of King David's sons. And it was he that God chose to build his temple and to rule Israel when David went home. We're reminded in Isaiah 55:8 that mankind never thinks like God. He writes, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my way, declares the Lord." And in our passage this morning, once again, we see God doing things altogether differently than the way a man would do things. In announcing the birth of his son, he didn't send the message to royalty or men of high esteem. The angels didn't go to the emperor of Rome or to King Herod or to any of the royalty. He didn't command his angels to fly into palaces or throne rooms or castles. Instead, he told them to go to the shepherds watching their flocks on the hills surrounding the little town of Bethlehem. And what makes that so unusual is that in Israel, shepherds were considered outcasts. You see, it was their line of work. Their line of work not only made them unclean, but it made it impossible for them to be clean because they were constantly away from the temple. But the Lord chose the defiled outcast shepherds to be the first to hear the good news. And they did that because it was the defiled that the baby Jesus had come to save. You see, everyone listening to this message was, before they became born again, just as defiled as the outcast shepherds were. We're all sinners saved by grace. But the angels came in great glory and gave these shepherds, they gave them the first good news that a Savior was born. The Word had become flesh, and He dwelt among us. The Christ, the champion of the woman's seed, promised in Genesis 3:15, had finally come into the world. And the outcast shepherds were the very first to hear the angel's song of salvation. I'd also have you note that these shepherds were standing on historic ground. You see, it was on those same slopes and hillsides that David of old had fed his father's flock. It was on those slopes that David delivered the lamb from the lion and the paw of the bear. And it was here that David practiced with his sling for the great day he would battle the giant Goliath. And it was also here that David went forth at God's command to exchange the shepherd's crook for the royal scepter and his shepherd's clothes for the purple robes of a king. Indeed, the ground those shepherds were standing on, God had visited before. Our passages are also instructive and prophetic in that it shows that God brought salvation to men of every estate, even outcast shepherds. Now men and women, regardless of their stations in life, have a Savior who says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And we need not fear now, because God has taken on the flesh of man, and the Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And listen to the prophet Isaiah, "But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Isaiah 53:5. And listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 1:15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And even the Savior Himself said, 'For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" Luke 19:10. Now, all believers, regardless of your estate, regardless of whether you're poor or you're wealthy, regardless of if you're young or old, now, because a Savior was born, you, like Paul, can declare with confidence, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Our text is also instructive because it shows that God's love for mankind is so great. He would even be willing to send His only Son to die for you, June, to die for you, Mel. Our brother, the Apostle Paul, teaches us that in Romans 5:8. God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I remember not being saved and having Christians coming up to me and saying just that, "Christ died for your sins." Who asked Him to? That was my response. Didn't know what to say. But as soon as God got a hold of my heart, I know why He came for me. And I'm glad that He came for me. And I'm glad that 2,000 years ago, those angels came on those slopes and announced that the Savior had come. And when they announced it, it wasn't just to the shepherds. It wasn't just to the people 2,000 years ago. It was for you, Ron. It was for you, Sally, and Tom, and Brian, and Ruth, and Raymond. He came for all of us. And it was very appropriate that this first news would be given to outcasts, because all of us were outcasts before we came to know Christ as Savior. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who seek after God. And that was the estate of all of us until God stirred our hearts. Until God called us. We also see in Scripture that shepherds were also the first ones to hear, because it was appropriate, because Scripture talks so much about shepherds. They're one of the primary symbols used in Scripture to describe God and how He cares for His people. David tells us in Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Psalm 81 calls God the shepherd of Israel. "Oh, give ear, shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned above the cherubim, shine forth." And even Jesus himself, in his ministry, called himself a shepherd. John 10:14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." That would be us. And the Apostle Peter called Jesus the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5:4. "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Amen. God ordained that shepherds would be the first to hear the good news of the coming Messiah, because, you see, God had a long history of dealing with shepherds. Moses was a shepherd who not only tended sheep in the Midian desert for 40 years, he tended the sheep of Israel for 40 years. And as we mentioned earlier, Jacob was a shepherd, Joseph was a shepherd, and David, a man after God's own heart, was a shepherd. I would also have you note that in our passages we're looking at this morning, that the shepherds were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were not sleeping in their tents. They were not praying or doing anything religious. Our text says they were out in the fields keeping watch. You see, their business that night was to be outdoors watching their sheep. If they had been at home, if they'd been at a temple, or even in a prayer meeting, when they should have been in those fields watching their sheep, they would have missed one of the greatest blessings that's ever come to planet Earth. If they'd been playing on harps at a sacred concert, or even carrying up an offering to the temple, when they should have been watching their sheep, they wouldn't have heard the song of the angels or seen the glory of the Lord round about them. You see, the best place in the world to be is at your post of duty. If the Lord has a good gift, or He has a glad message to give to one of His children, He sends it to the place where that child ought to be. And if the child is not where they are supposed to be, they fail to get the blessing. They fail to get the blessing that they would have rejoiced over. The Apostle Thomas is a biblical proof verse. He wasn't with the other apostles when Jesus appeared to them after His resurrection, and he not only missed the blessing of seeing His risen Savior, later when the Lord saw him, He gently reproved him for his lack of faith. John records that in chapter 20, verses 24 and 25. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hand the imprints of the nails and put my finger in the place of the nails and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." How many times at a Bible study, how many times at a fellowship or a potluck supper, or even at a church service, have I seen people receiving blessings, great blessings from the Lord or even from each other? And those blessings were missed by those who weren't at their place of duty. They weren't where they were supposed to be. So those blessings were lost. What were those blessings? Those blessings were encouragement. Those blessings were they weren't being edified. Their faith wasn't being strengthened. They missed an opportunity to grow in Christ, and they missed an opportunity to serve their God by finding a need in another brother or sister. And I would ask, what about you, beloved? How many blessings do you suppose you have missed because you are not where you were supposed to be? How many times has God spoken to your heart, and yet you've let the world or the things of the world keep you from your place of duty? We worship God every day of our life, amen? We worship God in a car. We worship God in our home. We worship God corporately. We worship God at fellowship. That's our duty. It is the work of God is to believe in the one He has sent. And you believe in the one He has sent by following His commands. And part of His word says, "Forsake not the assembling together of yourselves." That's our place of duty. That's where the blessings stem from. Corporately. And I wonder how much help we could have been to somebody had we been at that prayer meeting, had we been at that Bible study, had we been in church, had we chosen to wrap our lives around Christ rather than other things. I wonder. But for the shepherds, they were where they were supposed to be. They were watching their flocks. They were waiting for something to happen. And God found them where they were supposed to be. And He blessed them in a mighty, mighty way. The glorious announcement that a Savior was born came to a group of outcast shepherds because, you see, they symbolized that all men in God's eyes are outcasts and are in need of a Savior. Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags." And the message given to the shepherds that night was one that should bring great rejoicing and hope, not just to that generation, but to every generation. The angel's message, "Unto you is born this day a Savior," is a message of hope. John 3:16 is a message of hope. It's a message of peace as well. Ephesians 2:14 reminds us, "For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." It's a message of joy. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." John 15:11. And it's a message of God's goodwill to those with whom He is pleased. Isaiah 26:3. "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You understand, beloved, that after centuries of waiting, the promised news of a Messiah had been fulfilled. The Word had become flesh and dwelt among men. The prophecy of Emmanuel, God is with us, has been fulfilled. And the glad tidings is that a Savior for all mankind has been born. Now there's a reason to celebrate. There's a reason to be joyful. And there's a reason that there can be peace on earth between man and God. The message that the angels proclaimed to those shepherds over 2,000 years ago is exactly the same message. Exactly the same message that you have this morning. It's no different. Unto you is born this day a Savior. The promise has been fulfilled. The Christ child has come to save you. To save you from your sins. To save you from yourself. He's come to save you from the great serpent in the lake of fire. And He will be a Savior to all those who accept Him as their Lord. Christmas. It's almost diabolical how the message I just gave you is so easily lost or confused in the commercial world that we live in. Everyone knows that Christ is the reason for the season, but the question is, have you acted upon that message of salvation? Do you know Christ is your Savior? Is He the central point of your life? Not just at Christmas, but every day of your life. You see, salvation is really what Christmas and the message of Christmas is all about. It's impossible to know peace, joy, or have goodwill towards God without first making Jesus the King of your life. It's impossible. Have you done that yet? Have you claimed Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And I don't mean with just words, because I've heard many people through the years say, oh yes, I've professed Christ. I'm in church every Sunday. I hear it a lot. What I'm talking about, I mean, have you claimed Jesus Christ with a changed life? That's what I'm talking about. Because all the blessings of the Advent seasons comes from the good news that He came to save you. If you want to be a part of those blessings, the only way you can is to first come to Christ. Our Lord Himself tells us in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. What a wonderful time and opportunity you have right now to come to know Christ as your Savior. If you feel your heart being stirred by God's message, see me. Call me. And I'll show you in this book right here how He loves you and how He came to save you. He's yours and you are His. All you have to do is claim Him. Wrap that thought around your mind this morning. Take it home with you. Rejoice, celebrate, dance and be merry, because the Christ child has rescued the perishing from the power of darkness, and He's made His children joint heirs in His kingdom. The promise is fulfilled, brothers and sisters. Emmanuel is with you. So take that thought home. Wrap it up in your mind this morning and take it home. And then start each day of the new year by unwrapping that thought and living your life like you really believe it. That, beloved, is how you can, like the outcast shepherds, celebrate Christmas every day. Let's pray. Father, words, they fail me, Lord, to fully appreciate all that's been done and how today
the world celebrates, or the United States anyway, Lord, celebrates this joyous occasion in a counterfeit way. Help us, Lord, to realize that Christmas is about salvation. Help us to realize that as former outcasts, Lord, that we have so much in Christ. We have presents every day from you, if only we're willing to cry out to you in faith and claim them for our own. Help us, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would be honored and glorified by our prayers. We ask you, Father, to continue to work in our hearts and help us to make Christmas an everyday event, because it's about salvation, and salvation that you gave us by grace. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning,